For folks listening right now, if you got a kiddo that's gonna you're thinking about taking the bus next year, registration is already opened. If you're listening to this very late, June 20th is that cutoff date.
Care for Franklin Matters. Franklin Public Radio, available anytime, anywhere on the internet at WFPR.FM and here in the local Franklin Mass FM radio dial 102.9. Here in our glorious studio again. Today's Wednesday. There was a school committee meeting on Tuesday night, so we're going to do a chalkboard chat with school committee chair Dave Callahan. Dave, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic. Weather is beautiful, and the school committee meeting didn't last 4 hours. So
there's nothing wrong with that.
It was fantastic. So I'm doing well this week.
Yeah. And by way of disclosure, I was upstairs at the FinCom meeting, and coming down, it was like, well, they're about to finish, and I'll catch up to it later. And then Perfect. You were finishing right away, right after that. It seems like.
Yeah. No. It was efficient. It was a nice tight agenda, and especially from where we've been before, it was a welcomed relief.
And you still accomplish stuff.
Yes,
which
we
is
did.
The key piece.
Exactly. Yeah. No, we had there was a lot of two discussion action items kind of right out of the gate, and so the first one is we had Dr. Frazier presented out on the elementary report cards because all of them have kind of been going through some big changes.
Mm-hmm.
They've made a lot of like alignment back to the portrait of a graduate.
Okay,
and also tried to make them more manageable and digestible for the families.
For the parents.
As well.
To understand what's going on. Because I know even when our kids were going through the schools, which was a few years ago, and I'm sure there's been a few other changes along the way. Yeah, sometimes it was easy to read. Sometimes the categories were like, really?
Exactly. And that was something like one thing that they're eliminating that they have when they look at like the different grading scales.
Right.
One of them that is no longer moving forward is like I for recently introduced.
Okay. Yes.
And because then there was another one of N, which was just like not introduced. Now they've heard from a lot of families that are like, well, wait a minute. What's the difference between recently introduced? If it's recently introduced, could they have already kind of become a master of the certain subject?
Right.
So now they say, all right, here's where they're at, and now we just have this code of N, which, and again, everybody gets a little cheat sheet, and it'll say, you know, either just recently, not yet addressed, or not yet assessed as well. So it might have just kind of been introduced, but they haven't gotten those assessments to see how are the kids doing, where are they at.
Yeah, that kind of scoring, that kind of matrix, rubric, I think is one of the terms. I mean, even in the corporate world where you had commitments and objectives and you had to deliver. Here you're talking about kiddos at various ages, various stages of development, different subject matters. And yes, sometimes you're getting to the key pieces in September and thereby you're mastered, but sometimes you're not getting till February or March and thereby how do you rate those, rank those, et cetera?
Exactly. You know, and Dr. Frazier, even we had Donna Grady, kindergarten teacher,
mm-hmm.
that was in council chambers last night. And he kind of, you know, pointed her out and said, you know, like, you know, she's going and she's teaching all the kids, you know, like 20 kindergartners that she has running
Correct.
Around, you know, like the letters of the alphabet. At the same time, teaching them, you know, how to hold a pencil and how to stand in line and how to just kind of behave.
How to be a school student, because kindergartners, this is their entree.
Exactly. And so there's a lot that's going on while they're also doing all the educational
mm-hmm.
ones. And to say that, you know, they do know their letters. They are being introduced to their letters.
Right.
But we're maybe not at that stage where they can actually properly assess how they know those letters, because there's also all those other, you know, million other things that those kindergarten teachers are doing all along the way as well that maybe isn't necessarily kind of being incorporated in the report
mm-hmm.
cards. So it's a way to help manage expectations for the kids, better ideas for the families
right.
as well.
Right.
So.
And kindergarten is also somewhat of a button where I have a little bit of experience via my wife, multiple years, 20 plus years, kindergarten. Assessments are one of the unique things that, especially at a kindergarten level, it really needs to be many times done one-on-one, as opposed to if you're in later in elementary, middle school, you just give the kiddo a test and the test results determine the assessment to that level. And again, there may be some accommodations made. But aside from that, you can do some paperwork, you do some scoring. At a kindergarten level, that's a different animal. Respectfully, it's a different nature of a evaluation. And if it's one-on-one, what's happened to the other 19, 20 kids in the classroom, mm-hmm. right?
So, I think excited to see, kind of how this is produced and when mm-hmm. it starts to kind of move forward. But it was a tremendous amount of work. When you saw they had like a vertical realignment, they kind of, K to five, and they took, every single little block in assessment and rewrote it and redesigned how mm-hmm. the language is going to be. And so much of that is even just like behind the scenes, right. just what the teachers are going to
sure.
see.
Yeah.
But you see just hundreds of hours have gone into this from his team, the literacy specialists, the teachers in the buildings. It was a tremendous amount of work to go into.
It's a lot of coordination because of the different disciplines, the different ages, the mm-hmm. uniquenesses of those ages, never mind IEPs, whatever need to be accommodated, et cetera. That's a whole realm in and of itself.
But they did a great job. It was
good.
A great presentation. And then the school committee voted to approve that one to kind of go forward.
Right.
And then it led into a letter of support that's going to go out to our legislative leaders for Franklin TV, but also the wider public
access. Right.
We appreciate that.
We try, and also we appreciate all the work that Franklin TV does, because you mentioned, right. Last night, we got the school committee meeting, and then we got the FinCom meeting happening at the exact same time. And, I was present at one,
mm-hmm.
but now I'll be able to watch the other
sure.
one on YouTube and check it out.
And likewise, I was at one. I'll be able to catch up to the other one eventually. So
exactly.
This was a unique week, clearly, with the three budget hearings. Three of the four nights of town meetings had dual broadcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight with the town council is the only single broadcast. Monday was FinCom Planning Board, School Committee FinCom Tuesday, FinCom and ConCom on Thursday. Tonight, town council alone, single one.
You could go and jump in whichever one you want. You can kind of watch all of them after the fact.
They're still doing sports streaming, and I think there's a concert tonight that's being recorded. So it's not just meetings.
Well, yeah, exactly. And we incorporated that in the letter that we had. It touches on every aspect of this community.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many, we get the grandparents that
right.
Aren't able to go and be here physically at graduation, they can kind of watch their grandchild walk across the graduation
mm-hmm.
stage.
Right.
Yeah, when they're checking out all the athletic sports that are going on and watching
yeah.
the games.
Yeah.
There's just it hits on so many different areas, and
true.
It's fantastic. And
yeah.
so when Pete was here couple of months
January,
ago.
I think it was, yeah.
And really kind of talking about the decline in revenue that Franklin TV and other
mm-hmm.
public access is having because of the loss of cable subscriptions.
Right.
But they'd mention that there's a lot of bills that are out there on Beacon Hill to kind of add that same subscription kind of charge to a lot of digital media.
Kind of an entertainment tax, air quotes, but yeah. A tax on, because even, I think Chicago did it first. So the Netflix, the YouTube streaming, et cetera, those would still have some equivalent of a tax that would get divvied up by at a state level, local level, and then cable level that would help to at least offset when the cable fees go away because more and more people are cost-cutting.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And so that was right as soon as we kind of had that meeting, the whole committee was really, what can we do?
Mm-hmm, sure.
And so we went, drafted up this letter, kind of went through policy. Policy went and approved that, and so went to the full school committee. So now we got unanimous support for this letter over here
mm-hmm.
talking about these two bills, one in the House and one in the Senate,
right.
that we'll be sending over there just to whatever we might be able to
mm-hmm.
nudge to say, this is a great thing.
Sure.
We want to make sure that Franklin TV stays to be able to record and stream all these meetings, all these events moving forward.
Absolutely. Yep. And just quickly, by way of disclosure, while I'm a volunteer, the equipment is provided by TV, radio. I am not paid by anything. This is my volunteer time, akin to your volunteer time on all your meetings. But yeah, I don't consider this work. I'm having a heck of a lot of fun doing it, and I'll tout an audio that if people hadn't heard yet, the energy between Callie and Erin O'Leary on Blast, bringing libraries and school together, that audio is now out and available. The energy there is just unbelievable. It's just, I think one of the phrasing was, they start with yes, and then they'll do the figure-outable and how to make it happen.
I love that.
There's nothing wrong with that part, especially about reading and introducing kids to books of whatever genre. It's perfect.
That's amazing. I always, anytime we have open house, my daughter's over at Horace Mann. So we'll go in there, and sure enough, you know, Miss O'Leary will have some amazing displays. There's always like a big electronic TV that she has that goes and talks about all the different books and that are out there. And we'll usually, and Miss Callie oftentimes will have a little table right next door.
Sure. Yep.
Yep. And but that letter of support, that we're really excited to kind of be able to go and flip that off. I think it's something town council had done previously
They had acted on it as well, yeah. So we appreciate the support from both sides of the town. Chloe, it's our work here on behalf of the studio and TV. I'm saying that. Our work here on behalf of those is certainly appreciated by the town, and we appreciate your support in Backwoods.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, we're all in this together.
Yeah.
So,
for sure.
And then we also actually, we had, wasn't necessarily on the agenda, but a lot of discussion about transportation. And so for...
Some of the fine-tuning since the last transportation piece?
It was nice. It was more operational and kind of boots on the ground.
Yes.
The
day yesterday was when the registrations opened.
Exactly. So for folks listening right now, if you got a kiddo that's going to, you know, you're thinking about taking the bus next year, registration is already opened. If you're listening to this very late, June 20th is that cutoff date. And so but we were able to kind of go, and we Lucas kind of brought it up in the superintendent's report. It's a brand new system.
Yep.
As a parent, I went and I did under like 15 minutes. Was able to go get my kid, signed up, both of them on the bus, paid for it. And so I think by like last night, they already had like 742 in change kids already signed up for the bus.
Wow.
And so it's such a streamlined process, especially compared to last year.
Well, and isn't this the same app as for the meals?
It is.
So that consolidates things. You're already familiar, for those who are already there, with the meals app. Now it's just an extra tab or whatever within the app.
Yeah, and you just kind of go, I added my two kids, and then I got this little pop-up that says, hey, this is due. You know, and here's how much it is for this kid, here's how much it is for that kid. And you just add them to the cart, and boom, you're done. And so so it was great, but we did make... we didn't make light of it. We had some conversations about it, because it's so important that everybody sign up before that deadline.
Totally.
Because that's Colin, the director of operations. He's going to be building all of those traffic routes, all the bus stops and everything, based on the kids that enroll.
Actual.
And so...
Because you had the projections beforehand, and projections are projections. They're as good as the data you have, but now you've got real registrations, which may still tweak here and there because life still happens. So, but if you're going to sign, do so by June 20th.
June 20th was the date. Everything thereafter is just going to... You're going to get waitlisted.
You're going to get locked.
Yeah. And then there was some discussion just in terms of the price as well.
Right.
Because so right now the bus fee is $500 per child to ride the bus.
Right.
And what the hope is, and it actually kind of says this as you're going through the process and the emails as well, that if the structural deficit is able to be solved and the budget is looking good and looking, you know, comfortable, the intent is to kind of bring the fees down to bring all fees down.
Correct.
And specifically looking at the bus, there was already kind of some conversations starting in policy. And then there was also a brief discussion of the full school committee meeting that the superintendent is looking to recommend a lower a dollar amount to about $380
something
and that change
ballpark,
somewhere in that. But as you kind of go and you sign up, it says, you know, this is the down payment. You kind of go and you pay this amount, but depending on where exactly the budget lands,
right,
that we may have to increase that by, you know, an extra 100 and change to kind of bring it up to the $500 mm-hmm. level. So, you know, certainly the intent is to reduce all the fees.
True.
Because it's just, I mean, we're seeing right now, you know, we've talked about this before, but like things like football, it's $1,000 a season. And
right.
a lot of families, they got, you know, they got kids playing multiple sports, riding the bus for multiple. I mean, you know, some families are in the hole.
It adds up rather quickly.
Yeah, $5,000-$6,000 just to send their kid to school and let them play a sport or two mm-hmm. that they're looking for. So we are looking to lower all of those fees. However, Superintendent Jagiro made it very clear, you know, he's not looking to box himself in at any point right now. We, you know, this is the budget right now. This is the intent, but we really do have to wait and see where the money
right.
ends up.
The June 3rd vote, clearly, if it passes, will allow the town to continue to provide the services we've known, including the third ambulance, police support, DPW support. But yes, if it passes, then there'll also be the lesser fees mm-hmm. on the sports and transportation. If it doesn't pass, the flip side happens. So the third ambulance is no longer staffed. Two police, based on the report last night, two police officers drop off. DPW, the water sewer will still flush and flow. But other things that are visible, like, you know, seeding the fields, watering the grass, maintaining the roads, you know, those mm-hmm. are going to be a little bit less timely if they happen at all.
Right.
Because everybody's getting something across the town.
Right. It's going to be tightening the belts all over the place right. and in some many places where you can't afford. It's not like there's all this fat that we can kind of go and trim. You know, like the schools through the reorganization, like we've consolidated down from 10 schools down to seven. We've found so many, you know, like, I mean, between just economies of scale and looking at better efficiencies by Colin, the way that he's organizing the buses and the bus routes. There's when I went on the website, they have a little budget narrative, a good one pager for anybody who wants to kind of check it out. But there's basically, you know, like we're looking at like $3.1 million in savings
right.
with this budget. Now, if the structural deficit isn't solved, if the override fails and the schools are on the hook to kind of cut $2 million, like that, it doesn't exist. You can't go and find, you know, like make all these incredibly big reductions and changes like we're doing mm-hmm. right now
sure.
to the tune of $3.1 million and then slash an extra $2 million on top of that.
Right.
In Superintendent Jagiro, it's been brought up a number of times at FinCom and throughout school committee meetings too, and kind of asked, like, how are you going to make that up?
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking at maintaining the fees, if not having to increase them,
right.
is certainly on the table. That individuals, you know, like we can anticipate higher classroom sizes. That
right.
I think like it was like mental health and support staff, you know, maybe reduced. It's going to hit every single aspect of the schools and every single aspect of our mm-hmm. kids' lives, because there's just there isn't $2 million worth of fat that we can just say,
right.
all right, we'll go and we'll take this out, and nobody is actually going to be impacted.
Yeah.
It's gonna yeah. hurt a lot.
Yeah, and the one other thing I'll add on a different tact, but you know, we knew with the failure last year, and some people were saying, why are you coming back? Well, we knew because of the actions that were taken last year, we were already $3 million in the hole going into this year. So we're only 0.8 more. Primarily kudos to the schools with the redistricting side, because if you hadn't redistricted, it would have been, what, 10-something more that we were in the hole this year, because between what we would have still been spending if you hadn't achieved all those efficiencies, that's not even in the budget,
mm-hmm.
because that's already been taken out, never mind the other two that it's a risk. So, yeah, I think anybody who, and it's a cheap, easy way to say, we don't trust the town can find the money. No, they can't. $3 million, and you really look at what the root cause is, in my eyes, and years of experience reporting, inflation, particularly recently, has exceeded the 2.5% that we can go.
Mm-hmm.
We've been covered a little bit because of some of the new growth benefits we've had, but the new growth benefits have tapered off, and we don't have that. We're getting some efficiencies so that we should be assuming this passes, we should be positioned as a town and school much better going forward. Mm-hmm. There's still going to be some ask, clearly, but they'll be not in this range, I don't think. You know, other than a building, you know, whether it's a police station, if they do go through it after decision, whatever, that's going to be another decision. But those big ones are always made anyway. So we'll see.
Yeah. You know, yeah, it's right now, it's just about, we know for a fact how painful not resolving the structural deficit is going to be.
Yeah.
And I think every department head, every meeting I've kind of been to, they've been straightforward. And again, it's not scare tactics. It's just scary facts.
It is.
And it's something. And I understand that any tax increase, any increase at all.
I totally understand affordability. I totally do.
And so those folks, I get that. But I also know that there's a lot of folks that, you know, I mean, we're looking at about approximately $25 a month per household for the average Franklin house. And if you're leaning no because of that affordability piece, I understand and I respect that. If you're leaning no because you don't trust the people or the process, because of Franklin TV, you can go back and you can watch every single episode for the past number of years.
Listen to or read the transcript for all the six budget hearings. The three FinCom hearings will be set by the end of the week to the same way. And there's still two town council budget hearings before the June 3rd vote. So
you can show up in person and make your voice heard. And there's so many opportunities. And it's just that aspect is, you know, it's going to hurt if this override fails due to a lack of trust. And I really hope that's not the case. And I hope that if there's those listening that are distrustful of elected officials or myself included, like reach out to me. Give me a call. I'm you know, if I'm not at council chambers, I'm usually at the ball field or elsewhere around Franklin. I'm always happy to kind of catch up and chat with you because it's just it's a lot of, you know, great department heads. It's an incredible superintendent and a lot of volunteer individuals, elected and appointed, that are trying to do the best and trying to listen to everybody as best as we can.
Yeah, and unfortunately, with the cuts, if they do go through, if we don't pass it successfully, the vulnerable are going to be the ones who are going to be most affected by the cuts, I would think. So, yeah, we need to bring back that sense of commonwealth that we're all in this together. We need to help each other. And financially, that becomes a little bit more dicey in some ways because legalities, et cetera, but we just need to have the conversation to at least figure out, because the answers are available this time more so than ever.
They are. And that's I know we were both at night one of FinCom's big ones, but like George, chairman of FinCom, kind of talking, like, he went down that rabbit hole of looking at all the other town governments that operate the same way that we do. And then our budget books and process blows it out of the water. Mm-hmm. And I remember I always give kudos to Councilor Hamblin, because she said, you know what, I had a question about the school's budget and I was trying to figure out, how do I get this answer? And I was like, I went to the school's website and boom, there's our budget. We got, you know, you can click on the budget. You can click on a quick overview, executive summary.
A couple of hundred of pages, but all the details there.
Every single dollar amount. And even too, the past couple of years, if you look at that, those line items, because occasionally you'll go and you'll see some big swings.
Right.
But now they even have a whole column that says, here's the explanation for the swing.
Right.
Now, like in some cases, like it got brought up at FinCom, like transportation, the salary line went down substantially. Mm-hmm. They were able to – eliminated that. And then as they're now kind of moving forward, this other position and more efficiencies kind of found.
Right.
But then they looked and said, well, this one really increased. Well, this one increased because – and there's a little asterisk with the column that kind of explains – now we're incorporating all like the – I think it was like print and jobs and supplies all within central.
They centralized that as opposed to having a line item in each of the schools. So, yeah.
And,
But there are explanations for all those changes.
Exactly. And it, within the budget books themselves, you can kind of go and read that. So even if you don't want to go and you don't want to listen to the hours of presentations, you just check that budget book out and it's all right there.
Right.
If you still have questions, ask anybody.
Right.
We're always happy to answer.
That's the key piece. If you have questions, reach out and ask.
Yeah. And then we had more continued conversations about the Horace Mann campus.
Oh, the naming idea. Convention. Yes.
And so because this was it was really within like a policy subcommittee. And then that kind of got brought out and discussed during our last meeting. And then we wanted to have just a bigger overall kind of conversation and discussion about it before kind of moving forward with any ideas. And it was some great conversations that we kind of heard from everybody on the committee, a lot of enthusiasm and excitement about the idea.
Right.
I love, you know, we had like Dr. Griffith kind of spoke about, you know, one, you know, let's not lose kind of forget why the names of the schools have been changed.
Correct.
You know, we had three middle schools with three names and three unique identities.
Correct.
All coming together into one.
Right.
And again, for a better educational experience, doesn't hurt that it's saving millions of dollars for the townpayers either, taxpayers, but that we went and we did this and to kind of be cognizant of the fact that there are three totally unique identities coming forward, let's just go with this one singular name.
Mm-hmm.
But now how do we kind of go and pay respect to, let's say, Horace Mann? And so the discussion continues about taking the area with ECDC, the middle school, and the high school, all the kind of fields surrounding it, and now renaming it the Horace Mann campus.
Mm-hmm.
But we also really discuss how is that it's got to be more than just a name.
Right.
And how do we elevate that? And so discussion about what we can do in terms of signage, in terms of boulevard banners.
Sure.
Lucas mentioned the idea of a statue. I know that's a much later on down the idea road, but ultimately what can we do to kind of go and to elevate this? And committee member Aaron Gallagher kind of talked about it's even more than just the name. Like, how do we bring that into the classroom setting as well?
True.
And, you know, whether or not it's to, you know, denote his birthday, which is coming up May 4th.
May 4th.
And, you know, on the school's calendar to, you know, really kind of making, bringing him in all the classroom and some conversations in the same fashion that we have for the ladybug as well. And because really the idea, I think, would be like a marker of success.
Right.
Is if we have fifth graders at Lincoln and fifth graders at Washington getting ready to make the big move over to middle school to be excited that they're going to the Horace Mann campus because they heard that name for the past 6 years that they've been at Franklin schools. And to be like, you know, I know this. I know this little factoid, or I know his birthday. I celebrated it here.
Right.
I went to the historical museum and had some birthday cake. And now I'm going to the Horace Mann campus as I embark on the next part of my educational experience.
Sure.
And so it was a lot of really great discussion, and then we're going to continue to move forward as well. But it was great. It was fantastic. And for folks who, you know, hadn't listened to our last chalkboard session or the meeting before, but again, Dr. Paul Griffith, I think, hit the nail on the head just a couple of meetings ago when he said, you know, it's just as I don't want to go and say and just put a name on the map and say Horace Mann Campus and kind of call it a day. That doesn't do anything to actually elevate the man.
Right.
But we also want to go, and for the father of public education, if we want to make and honor his legacy, we got to fully fund the schools. And we got to fully fund every other department. But if you're concerned about Horace Mann, we got to make sure that those schools are fully funded and every single child here in Franklin has access to a high-quality education.
Mm-hmm. That was his marker. He started that here in Mass from Franklin. So yeah, we should honor it that way.
And I'm excited, and we have the opportunity to do so. And I think that's what's so great is that, you know, Dr. Dutch spoke at night one of FinCom and about how Franklin, because in the most recently, you know, the past couple of years, we've seen that higher increase in the allocation of line item 300.
Right.
That I mean, when 4 years ago when I started running for school committee, the conversation was when you kind of rank all the other school districts, you know, that 75% of other school districts.
You're in the bottom third, bottom quarter. Yeah.
Now, you know, we've kind of climbed up. Now only, you know, 66% of other school districts invest more, but
6 or 8%, but it's still 6 or 8%.
It's going in the right direction. And now we're really at that opportunity where, you know, like Lucas labeled the budget, laying a foundation for success,
right,
because that's what this does. And if we can get the override passed, fix the structural deficit, we can land this ship for this reorganization on steady terms, and then be able to kind of move forward from there. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to set all of our kids up for incredible success. And I just, it's keeping me up at night waiting until the night of June 3rd. But I'm excited and I'm hopeful as well. But really, for any folks that maybe are on that fence, reach out. Give me a call. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for recapping as you have. I think we're good at this point.
Yeah, I think I get off my soapbox and otherwise we hit up a lot of the big agenda
items. Yep, and then we put the appropriate plug in for June 3rd. And if you got any questions, there's plenty of places to ask them.
Exactly. And so now we got a little bit of May 13th. I think we got the next school committee meeting, and we're just gonna continue on with some of the great conversations we got.
Right. Well, thank you again for doing this and taking the time to do so. And for the listeners, we thank you for listening and continue to do so. And if you've got any questions, don't hesitate to reach out. And final reminder, we do this because Franklin matters. We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.